Turn to Revelation 21. Chapter 21 of the book of Revelation. Amen. We got Donnie back off out of the way. Hiding him. Chapter 21, and let's just read the first 8 verses in responsive reading. I'll read the first, you the second. Let's try to stay together. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful.
And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely.
He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this book that shows us the end of all things, shows your great love to us, your power over everything. We ask you, Lord, help us to trust you more. Help us, Lord, to trust your will in everything. God, I pray that if there's anyone in listening to my voice that's not saved, that you would touch their heart and they'd trust you as Lord and Savior. We pray, Lord, for all that bear burdens and cares and troubles. I pray, Lord, you'd lift them this day. Give us help. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
New heaven and a new earth. Wow. Okay. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Have you ever thought about no more sea? Had that ever caught your attention when you were reading this? No more sea? Now, sea covers 2/3 of the earth's surface. So if we got no more sea, we got 2/3 more surface. And if there's another way of watering, such as coming up, moisture coming up, and then coming back down with the dew and water and everything, see how many people you could take care of? Some people are saying the earth can't take care of so many billion. We got 9 billion right now, and it's taken care of. We got plenty of food. It just doesn't get distributed because of the political things that go around, the dictators, the people that want to use it for power or steal it and sell it. But you got to have a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Now, a lot of good, solid, doctrinal men, good preachers, and I would be for them right down the line. But they have an idea, and I used to have it. I was taught it, called the gap theory. And where the earth may have been redone times and times, and that would give you the long ages of millions and billions of years, and that God had done lots of things to it. But you know what this said? And it just is, I look at Scripture and I see some things. He said the first heaven, the first earth were passed away. I think you're on the first earth.
Amen.
I think you're sitting under the first heaven. And I don't believe the gap theory. I think that when God created it, He created it. And that's exactly what He's telling you in Genesis. And so I'm not going to argue with anybody about it. Just something I'd like to point out, and that struck me as amazing. New heaven and a new earth. You like new things? I like new things. Have you ever bought a new car? Ooh, it smells nice, doesn't it?
Wouldn't know.
Yeah, boy, we like new things, new clothes. We like new clothes. Of course, some of us would rather wear our old clothes, but you know, that's just the way it is. But we like new things. Well, how about a new heaven and a new earth? This one here has been very interesting to me. Has it been to you? Has your life been an adventure? Have you enjoyed your life? Have you enjoyed enjoying the things that you see and know? And man, I've been to the Grand Canyon I don't know how many times. And I would go again if I didn't have to drive there. If I didn't have to put up with some trouble. The General Sherman tree? Good night. Some of those redwoods were alive when Abraham was on the face of the earth. Some of those things are really, really old. And they've just withstood all sorts of things. And I look at that one tree. I literally sat for a week and watched it day after day. And it just blessed me every time I went out and looked at it. I've enjoyed earth. I haven't been to heaven yet, but I've enjoyed earth. And I tell you what, how about a new heaven? How about a new earth? And new things. You know, I keep learning about my little old 3-pound brain up here and all the things that go into being it what it is. And this body of ours, good night. And about all those animals. God is... I heard a preacher one time say, he said, God loves beauty. And I thought, no, God loves variety. Everybody's not beautiful. I'm not beautiful. I understand that. It's not a problem. And God loves variety. That's why He made so many of us. So don't feel so bad about what you are. If you got a nose that's a great big one and hangs out like here and it's got a boil on the end of it, that's all right. God made you for some purpose. Rejoice in it. Amen. No, I didn't get many amens on that one. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And then look at verse 2. I, John, saw the holy city. Is that Mecca? Is that Rome? No. It's New Jerusalem. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. The city's already made up. And it's coming down. And what, John, this is what he's been showing you. He's been trying to describe what he's seen all through this book from the very first chapter. It's what he's seen. God told him to write. And he said he saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, when I married Verlene, we eloped. On Thursday, I said, you want to get married on Saturday? She said, yeah. And we eloped, just two friends, and we went to Seguin, because you get married in 3 hours in Seguin in those days, and 3 days in San Antonio. So we drove to Seguin, and we got married, and we eloped. And if I got married again, I would do it again. I'm just not with all the fancy stuff. I've preached a few pretty fancy weddings. How does a bride try to look the very best she can? She's going to have the best clothes on and the best jewels on, and her hair is going to be made up, and she's going to be all dolled up. Well, that's what he's talking about when he's talking about this city. What's this city look like? Man, it's got everything. New Jerusalem, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, there are a lot of expensive weddings, and you know, I think some women get married just to have a wedding. I really do. I think there's some people that way. And it didn't matter about the man, you know, but just, you're going to give me a big wedding and let me dress big and look fancy and everything like that. Well, that's the way this city is. This is a city that is flat decked out, boy. You seeing something here is just special. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Wow. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful thing to know that God is with you. It's a wonderful thing when God makes His presence known to you. You know, He's done that to me several times in my life. Maybe I'm going through a big bit of trouble or going through something else, a sorrow or something like that, and God came down and came close to me. Maybe God rebuked me. Maybe God just blessed me. But it's a wonderful thing. And He says, tabernacle. You know what a tabernacle is? It's like a tent, a temporary dwelling. And we are the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit right now. If you're saved, you're born again, then God has moved in with you and He is tabernacling in your body right now. So it said right here, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Now, God seems like He's a long ways off from us today. Sometimes you don't think God is close to you. You don't think God is hearing your prayers. You don't think God is interested in what's burdening you. And you think maybe you don't even want to bother God. Some of you don't want to bother God with your troubles, and yet that's what He wants you to do. So much of this Bible is about prayer, is about coming to God, trust God. Well, what a wonderful thing that God is going to tabernacle with men, going to dwell with them. They shall be His people. Now, I think one of the greatest blessings you could have as a Christian is to recognize you are a child of God. Don't you think so?
Amen.
That's one of the greatest blessings of my life. I am a child of God. Like I've said many, many times, I had a good father and a good mother, good family. And they were definitely Christian. And they were not Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night churchgoers. In fact, they didn't always go on Sunday morning. But at any rate, they were believers, and they had the Bible in the house, and it was the knowledge of what they wanted me to do was according to that book and the Ten Commandments and whatever. Wonderful thing. And yet sometimes some of you don't feel like God is really with you. You think He's far off. You don't see Him. You don't feel Him. He's not close to you. But He is. He's inside you. And if you recognize that when you're stumbling to pray, do you ever stumble to pray? Oh, I do. I do. I'll sit down to pray or stand up to pray or it comes across my mind and 100 other things come through my mind. 100 other things just are there to interrupt you and whatever. And you wonder if God's even hearing you. Is your prayer even getting out the door? Well, let me tell you what. He's hearing you. He's hearing you. He's inside of you, and according to Romans 8, He's praying with you to bring you into His will.
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Romans 8 is a... If you as a Christian would just learn Romans 8, wow, what a blessing it would give you. Give you merry heart. Merry heart does good like a medicine. And it would help you out a whole lot. At any rate, He said right here, heard a great voice saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be His people. God Himself shall be with them and be their God. I know who my God is, and that is a blessing. And if you're saved, you need to know who your God is. You need to read enough of this book in the New Testament and in the Psalms. David, one thing about David was a great sinner. He was a great soldier. He was a great musician. He was a great king. But he was also a great sinner. But man, he was a great repenter too. He was a great repenter. And he trusted in God. And you need to learn to trust in God. When you're going through troubles, know He's with you. And you know, I don't think anything comes our way without His permissive will. Now, that may strike you hard if you got cancer or diabetes or heart attack or whatever, or you lose a child or you lose your spouse. You think, well, what's God doing? I don't know what God's doing, and you don't either. God's plans are so big, so much more complicated than what you can think of. We've got our little bitty plans, and we work ourselves among different people and through communities or with our work or our money or our little house. And to some of you, some things are so important. To my wife, color was important. I saw this nice house, and I thought, well, it'd be a nice one to buy. She said, okay, but only if you paint the den. The den was hardwood. I was not going to paint that hardwood. So we just didn't buy that house. We have some things, I tell you what, that you know, buying that hardwood, that those knotty pine 1x12s, and that den was about the size of this room. Seemed like it, probably not. But anyway, I considered it beautiful. I tried on a yellow shirt one time. I was in the store, and I put on this yellow shirt, and she says, oh, no. And I love that shirt. Boy, that's a beautiful shirt. No, that just fades you out. You know what I learned to do, guys? Just let her pick my shirts. I don't care. I don't care if I got a red one today and a blue one tomorrow and a white one the next day. It does not matter to me, just as long as I got a shirt. But it mattered to her. And maybe a lot of things matter to you now, and you don't think that God is interested in what you're thinking about. But God is interested in you. God is interested in you. He wants to dwell with you. And that's what the future holds. We're going to be dwelling with God, and that's absolutely beautiful. All right, be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Woo, is that good news?
Amen.
Man, when Genesis came and the devil came, there came pain. Now, I don't like pain. How about you? I don't like pain. You want to get my attention? Hurt me. Yeah. I don't like headaches. I don't like heart attacks. I don't like diabetes. I don't like fainting. I don't like breaking my leg. I had to go 81 years till I broke a leg. Never broke anything. Wow. It's over. Is that what it's telling you? It's over. It says right here, wipe away all tears. Have you spent some time crying? I've cried. I cry easily. I'm emotional. I get emotional. I'll cry. And going to be no more tears. No more death. What a tragedy death is to any of us.
Amen.
If you've lost a wife or a husband, if you've lost a son or a daughter, or you've lost your parents or whatever, you know what it's like. It's a terrible experience. Even if you're a born-again Christian and you know they stepped into the presence of God, you can't help but have this sorrow, this loss of this person. No more death. No sorrow. Can you imagine a life without sorrow? Oh, that's an amazing promise.
Amen.
I love this book. The book of Revelation is an uplift for me. It's an uplift for every born-again child of God. If you knew how to understand the book, it's a great book. What was begun in Genesis is finished right here.
Amen.
What do you find in Genesis? A whole lot of sorrow and a whole lot of death. A whole lot of the devil. A whole lot of wickedness. All they ever thought they had was only wickedness.
Yeah.
It's going to be gone.
Amen.
It's going to be gone where you go. You're going here and all this beautiful thing. He said, the former things are passed away. No more death, neither sorrow nor crying. No more pain. Former things are passed away. Praise God. When we get down to the end right here, we're to the place that everything you've known is gone. It's over. It's done. It's finished. Former things are passed away. All right. He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said, "Write. For these words are true and faithful." I've had several fellows that wanted me to write a book on my experiences in starting this church and whatever. I'm just not a writer. I can write, as you can see, some of those 26 or 30 position papers out there. I know how to write. I taught English for 20 years, so I know a little bit about it, and I know what a dictionary is, and I know what a spell check is. So I don't have to worry about that. But God never told me to write. He told me to preach. And that's what I've been trying to do. I'm just not a writer. I don't like to write. Now, wife and I, we would have arguments. We argued all the time. We dated. We argued all of our 60 years of marriage. We had a different idea about things, and we got along very well, but we argued about different things, and she'd give her opinion and whatever. We'd be arguing, and she could not stand up to me in a verbal argument. I would win. Okay. But the next day, there would be a letter on my pillow. And she loved to write. And she typed just like she thought, with no mistakes. And so she could just sit down at the typewriter and she could think her way through. And I've got all these arguments, so I take them. I don't answer her with my letter. I just take the letter and walk into the living room. Now, okay, now you said this, you said this, you said this, and we'd carry on our argument. And another letter on the pillow in the morning. And we learned to live with each other pretty well. Had a wonderful time. All right. Right, for these words are true and faithful. What's true and faithful? I make all things new. The former things are passed away. Isn't that wonderful? This is good news, people. You ought to be shouting hallelujah. You ought to be saying, "Wow, bring it on, Lord. I keep waiting. Bring it on. I've been looking forward for 40-something years, 60 years. Good night, I've been saved 61 years. Wow. I've been looking for this for 60 years. I'm expecting it. Now, is it going to come, or am I going to go through the clods and not through the clouds? I'd sort of like to go through the clouds, but I'll take through the clods if that's what I have to do. Anyway, the former things are passed away. I make all things new. Write it. The former things are passed away. I make all things new. Write it. These are true and faithful words.
Amen.
You say, "Well, I'm 60 years old and it hadn't happened yet, and so I don't believe it's going to happen." Well, just go ahead. It'll catch you.
Amen.
It's going to happen.
Amen.
Now, it may not happen in my lifetime, may not happen in your lifetime, but it's going to happen.
Amen.
This book is an amazing miracle, the Bible. 100 writers, 1,500, 1,600 years, and what's begun in Genesis is closed in Revelation. And they didn't have books like you and I. Eddie and I, I was going to an appointment with a doctor, and of course we went out to eat together, and then we went to a bookstore to waste a little more time before we went in. It was a little early, and it's always a temptation. I spent $40 in the bookstore, used bookstore. He didn't spend anything. He got more money than I got, but he showed more restraint. You know what? They didn't have books like we have. They didn't even have the Bible. They had to memorize it in certain portions of it, and certain churches maybe had this portion, and some others had another portion written down. They didn't all have it. But the Jews taught their children to read and write because they wanted them to know the Word of God. They had that much value to it. What a thing to have. And put this thing together, and what's begun in Genesis is finished in Revelation. Wow. Tremendous thing to me. Okay. And he said unto me, "It is done." Okay. They're finished. I make all things new. Former things are passed away. It is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's saying, I'm the first letter of the alphabet, I'm the last letter of the alphabet, and everything in between. What can you make with the 26 letters in the alphabet? Anything. Think about it. Those 26 little letters, and I got a dictionary that's probably got 400,000 entries in English. And that's not all. We're making up new words every day. All you got to do is listen to some of these rock stars. They're making new words all the time. I don't like their words, but that's neither here nor there. All right. He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. That's God, isn't it? He's the beginning and He's the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega and everything in between. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. You know what? For 61 years I've been telling people, if you'll call on him, he'll hear you. Amen. If you'll seek him, you'll find him. Amen. If you'll repent of your sins and call on the Lord, he'll save your soul. What did he say here? I will give unto him that is athirst. You got to be thirsty. You got to want a drink. Now, I've offered the gospel to a lot of people that weren't thirsty. Have you? They're not thirsty. They don't want it. They're not looking for it. They don't want repentance. They don't believe in salvation. They don't believe in any judgment. The problem with people that believing in God is they don't want to be judged. You just take that and put it in your pipe and smoke it. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. God is not willing that any should perish. We need to keep that in our mind. We ought to be in our mind looking for an open door to witness to every friend we have and every relative we have. Now, we don't want to make ourselves absolutely miserable to people. But we do need to be a witness. Okay, look at verse 7. He that overcometh. Who is he that overcometh? Jesus Christ. Whoever has Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4. If you have Jesus Christ, you're the overcomer. That's the overcoming. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. You may be a poor boy today, but you're not going to be then. All things. I will be his God and he shall be my son. That strikes me, see. God does not seem far off to me. God seems close. God seems to me like my father. And as I said, some of you have a bad experience with your father. I didn't. I had one of the greatest experiences anybody could have. I had a really fine man for a father. Very wise man. Wasn't well educated. He's done a 10th grade high school. Didn't finish high school. But back in those days, they went to work. And didn't matter very much. It matters a whole lot today what degree you got behind your name, whether it's even a high school diploma, believe it or not. He said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God. He shall be my son. I have the honest truth. Now, you may accuse me of being too forward with God. But he told me, I'm his son.
Amen.
There's a difference between a son and a slave. There's a difference between a son and a servant. There's a difference between a son and just about anything else. Right. My children know they can come to me. They come up and bang on the door of the house just to let me know they're there. But they all got keys. Half of them sign on my checking account. They can go in and wipe me out in a day's time. They haven't done it yet. Not yet. But I'm a son. I'm a son of God. I walk into His presence as a son. Now, you may not feel that way, but I think you ought to. If you know you're saved, if you know that Jesus Christ has dressed you up in His righteousness, you have not your righteousness. Your righteousness is filthy rags.
Amen.
Dirty old cloths that ought to be washed or thrown away. That's what your righteousness is. God now does not want your best. You know, Easter Sunday, wear your best. Wear your best for God. That is such a ridiculous idea. God sees you naked every morning.
Amen.
He even sees your thoughts and intents. Good night. I don't ever dress up for God. He knows everything that I am and all that stuff like that. But He's my Father. By merits of Jesus Christ, I have the righteousness of Christ before the courts of God. Wow. That's beautiful.
Amen.
You ought to be able to walk into His presence and say, Father.
Amen.
He'll answer you. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, I really don't like liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You ever wonder if God will define the words enough for you? What's the second death? He tells you right here. A lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I don't believe in a God that'd do that. Well, then you've made up a God. Not the God of the Bible. Your problem is, don't make up your God in your own image or your own likeness. And I'm sorry, but an awful lot of Christianity has done that. You better just learn to live with the Bible. I know it's a whole lot harder living with the Bible, because there are things in there you don't like. Wives, obey your husbands. Ooh. Did the book say it? Is the book out of date? No, it's not. I'm sorry about that. No, I'm really not. Which is the second death? Look at that list. Here's who you're going to be with if you don't take Christ.
Amen.
You may be a nice, upstanding citizen, and you look real well. Here's just where you are. You're going to be with the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and liars. That's the crowd you're choosing.
Amen.
And that's the place you're going to go.
Amen.
They'll have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me and said, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, these angels are recognizable. They're not all just the same. This angel right here was one of the seven angels which had the seven vials on the seven last plagues. So this angel that's coming to you now is a special angel he knew and recognized from what he had given to him just a little bit before, in about the middle of the book. And he said, I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. Showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now you realize that the tribulation is over and the 1,000-year reign of Christ is over and the first resurrection's over. And here we have this holy city coming out of heaven, made by God for His people, the holy Jerusalem. Now, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even as a jasper stone. Now, I don't know these stones, and maybe some of you do, but I have never learned the stones. There's a whole bunch of them in here. And it had a wall, great and high, and had 12 gates at the gates, 12 angels. The names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. All right, this is a city. It's got 12 gates, got 12 angels, an angel in each gate, and it's got a name over that gate, which is the tribes of the children of Israel. There's 12 of them. On the east three gates, on the north three gates, on the south three gates, on the west three gates. Well, it's a square city. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. You got 12 foundations, and you're going to get Peter, Paul, James, and John. That's what they're called. And the city lies four square. Hey, somebody says you're a square. Yeah, and I'm going to Cube City. I am a square. Wow. And he measured the wall thereof, verse 17, 140 and four cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. Now, a cubit is this. This link right here. Now, would we all have the same in here? No, that's not exactly a tape rule. But that's the way they did things back in their day. They measured by this. That's a cubit. It's about a foot and a half, generally. But at any rate, that's how high this wall was. And, let's see, he had a golden reed to measure. And the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth four square. The length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. 1,500 miles. East. That would just sit right down in the United States. That's a big city. You ever wonder where God got room to make all those mansions? He got plenty of room right here. Don't worry about it. I mean, there's no problem. No matter how many people. The length and the breadth, and wait a minute, the height are equal. It's a cube. Some people have said it's a pyramid. I personally think it's a cube. You can have it any way you like. I don't care. Do you think there's space? What do we got here? Maybe 10-foot ceilings? 1,500 miles? You got a lot of mansions in that. No problem at all. All right. The building of the wall, verse 18, was of jasper. Now, I don't know what a jasper is, and the city was pure gold. I know what gold is, but gold that looks like clear glass? I never seen any gold like that. Must be very pure stuff. Foundations, verse 19, were garnished with all manner of precious stones. First foundation, jasper. Second, sapphire. Third, chalcedony. Fourth, an emerald. Fifth, sardonyx. Sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, the topaz. The tenth, the chrysophorus. The 11th, the jacinth. And the 12th, an amethyst. Aren't you glad you didn't have to read that this morning? I had mercy on you. Or me, if it had caught me. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. That is a big oyster. You wonder what God's got out there in that universe that you hear about of all of those galaxies and whatever? He's got some mighty big oysters someplace. Each gate was one pearl. Can you believe that? That's wild, man. The street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. This is not dirt. This is not rock, gravel. It's not even asphalt. It's not cement. It's gold. Yeah. It's gold. I mean, it's a pretty rich city, don't you think? Verse 22, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Well, you don't really need a temple if you're living with God. Amen. And that's the light, too. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, For the glory of God didn't lighten it. Sinners have come short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You've come short of Jesus Christ. You think you're all right to stand up before God? How do you stack up with Jesus Christ?
Amen.
He's the glory of God and He's the light there. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. How about that? No night. I always thought night was a little bit of a waste. A whole lot of things you can't do in the night that you could get done in the daytime and whatever. Here we are. No night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, he said, I'm going to show you the bride. And then he describes the city. That may be a spiritual account of the church. I don't know. Maybe just exactly as it's stated, as he's seen it. I really don't know. You know what it sounds? Good to me.
Amen.
Whichever it is,
Amen.
It sounds good to me.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing. He said it's done. It's done. You know, that's I like that when a fellow tells me it's done. You ask him to do the work, he comes to you and says, it's done. Well, how about when God says it? Now, I've had a few fellows told me it was done when it wasn't done. But God keeps His Word.
Amen.
And that's a wonderful thing. Here we have all of these troubles in Genesis. Genesis is a book of one trouble after another. Mighty, mighty big things and big challenges. I like that prayer, Jacob, when he's getting ready to meet Esau. Coming back. Got three bands in his family. He's rich beyond his imagination when he left home. But boy, he's meeting with a brother that's a fighter. Man, a tough guy. And he goes to God and he said, I am not worthy of the least of thy favors. You know what we ought to do? We ought to thank God for all the salvation, all the deliverances, all of the blessings, all of the forgivenesses. Wow. All those troubles those people had in Genesis, we still got them. We got them today. There's wars, there's abominations, there's wickedness in the hearts of men, and some guy just can't even understand it, how that wickedness should be there. Sometimes they come out of a very good family and the son or daughter turns wicked. Sometimes out of a very wicked family, a son or daughter turns out good. It was something we just can't tell. Here's what he says. It's done. It's done. He said, nobody's going to enter it but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name there, my friend?
Amen.
It needs to be there.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Not that you're that good.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But that Jesus is that good.
Amen.
And that Jesus has promised to dress you up not in your old dirty righteousness, not in your old wicked sin, but in the perfect righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
What a substitution. What a
Amen.
Change. What a gift.
Thank you, Lord.
If you'll just trust Christ as your Savior, oh, I'll tell you what, this is where you'll spend up your time when it's coming around time. Well, God bless you.